And now, the life of Mary Southern. With her husband Max in prison, Mary Southern now faces Gary Troost's relentless drive to make her surrender Max's controlling share in the Sanders interest. Already, Troost has succeeded in inciting the mill hands against Mary and in convincing Jeffrey Button that his sympathies as the operator of the factory lie more with the public than with Mary Southern. Now, Troost is trying to show Dr. John Benson that Benson's support of Mary would reflect badly, not on Benson, but on Mary Southern. Plausible theory, Troost added a veiled threat against Benson's position as head of the children's clinic if he persisted in befriending Mary. Deeply concerned for Mary's happiness and security in town, Benson came to Mary Southern to tell her,
"Mary, I wonder if my being with you isn't doing you more harm than good."
"John, how can you have any doubts about it?"
"Well, the way Gerald Troost explained it to me..."
"Oh, Gerald Troost."
"I admit that Troost isn't our friend, that we shouldn't accept anything he says at face value, but..."
"I disagree there, John. Anyone as two-faced as Gerald Troost ought to be accepted at double face value."
"All right. All very well to joke about it, Mary. Helps keep up your fighting front, why, more power to you. It just so happens that what he says about my friendship for you and Max, especially you, may be a fact."
"Then you were right about Gerald Troost when you called him a plausible scoundrel."
"But can't you follow his reasoning, Mary?"
"Oh, yes, I can see his point, all right. You're the town's most respected young doctor and surgeon, and you're throwing yourself away for a convict's wife."
"They won't blame me, Mary. They'll blame you. Seems they're in a mood to blame you for everything wrong that happened."
"Well, and I'm glad we're not in an earthquake zone."
"Well, do you admit that there is something, then, in what Bruce says about my hurting you with my friendship?"
"I don't care about that, John."
"No, you don't. But I do."
"I'm only afraid of what Bruce might do if you don't stop supporting me."
"And that's what I don't give a hang about."
"But he's powerful, John. He knows the right people, and he's so vindictive."
"Gerald Bruce can't touch me. And even if he could, I'm not going to be browbeaten into anything. At least not by Gerald Bruce. You I'm concerned about."
"John, you shouldn't take chances with a man like Bruce. You have your career, your position at the clinic."
"You do want my friendship, don't you?"
"That's not a fair question to ask now, John."
"Do you?"
"Very much."
"Then that settles it. It's only a matter of deciding whether or not my being around is helping you."
"John, listen. Really, I'm getting along very nicely. Now, perhaps if you told Gerald Bruce that, well, that you wouldn't interfere in my affairs any longer..."
"Nonsense. I wouldn't even hear of such a thing."
"Well, at least for a while."
"Certainly not. You've lost too many friends already."
"Have I? Who?"
"The people are against you. The mill hands resent you."
"You don't know that,
John." "Bruce knows it."
"Who?"
"Jeffrey Barton knows it."
"I haven't seen it for myself, John. When I know positively that the people don't want me, that I'm causing trouble and unrest in Sanders, I'll know what to do without being told."
"Jeffrey Barton's deserted you, hasn't he? He was your friend."
"Jeffrey Barton didn't desert me. He had to choose between his working people and me, and the majority ruled. And if it came to the point where they refused to cooperate with him, all those people might be thrown out of work."
"If Barton had to choose between you and his factory people, then there must be differences between you and the people. You see, they are opposed to you. They resent you because you're Max's proxy."
"Oh."
"You see, Mary, you can't afford to lose more friends now."
"John."
"Hmm?"
"On second thought, I think Gerald Bruce may be right."
"What?"
"Your association with me might hurt me, at that."
"Uh-uh, Mary. Mm-mm. That doesn't go."
"But that's what you're afraid of yourself."
"But it's for me to decide, Mary."
"Oh, I don't know. I'm too confused even to think now."
"Mary, the whole mess was caused by that Sanders interest stock you're trying to protect from Max. Is it so important? Would Max want you to go through all this for him?"
"I want to go through it for him, John. Can't you see that controlling stock means something to him? It's Max's hold on those ridiculous, gaudy certificates that helps him keep hold of himself and his pride."
"Mary, you call those certificates ridiculous. Why?"
"Because they are, really. All full of fine terms and pompous wordage and green and gold scroll work. They're quite worthless."
"Mary, you knew that all the time?"
"Of course. The Sanders interests have suffered severely."
Then why are you fighting so desperately to keep the stock?
Because to Max, that stock is still a symbol of power.
But Gerald Proust offered you $10,000 for it.
We can't have our ideals knocked down to the highest bidder, John. And that stock is the symbol of an ideal. Max's ideal, mine. Max treasures the meaning of that silly paper. I understand Max's feelings, and I mean to respect them. Well, that's all, I guess.
I think I understand, Mary.
If it were only an investment, John, that I were protecting, I might feel as you probably do, that it isn't worth the trouble and the agony, and the game isn't worth the candle.
Well, I confess I might have felt that way about it, yeah.
So unless my fight to preserve that ideal for Max hurts other people, I'll hold on to the bitter end. But I won't let you sacrifice yourself, John.
Mary, you visited Max's prison today, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
What happened? What do you have to say?
Oh, great many things. We talked about...
What did you have to say about me? The truth, Mary, please.
Well, he asked about you. I told him you were well and standing firmly on our side. I knew that that was the one important truth in all the lies that I must tell Max in order to keep him happy and satisfied that things are going well at home.
Fine, that's swell. Great, I'm sure and glad to hear that about Dr.
I knew you would be, dear. John stops in almost every day to see how things are going.
Yeah, and everything's going okay, huh? Mm-hmm. Just breezing along?
Oh, everything's going splendidly, yeah, dear. No trouble at all.
No headaches from Gerald Proust or stuffy old Henrietta?
Oh, no. He seems satisfied that you're in prison.
Oh.
Although I suppose he broods a great deal because it's only for a year and a day.
Yeah, I'm sorry for him. Boy, he'll like to see me get life, I suppose, for something I didn't do.
I don't think Mr. Proust is going to be very happy with whatever small satisfaction he can get out of seeing you behind bars for a little while.
Well, I suppose not. What Proust is aching for is my stock in the Sanders interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that. I know he'd do almost anything to get it. See, you're sure that he ain't sitting on the doorstep half of the time, bothering you for that stock?
So what is he worth?
Toots, is he?
Oh, of course not. Why, even if he had the faintest hope of getting it, why, with John and Mr. Barton on my side, Gerald's simply out of luck.
Well, Barton's in a ticklish position with his building the factory and having to listen to public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't count on him too much. Now, it's Doc who's the guy. He's the man I'm really counting on.
And you can count on him, Max. He's so steady, and he gave you his word he'd see things through for both of us.
Yeah, that's right. Sure, that's a fact. Well, I'm sure glad we got somebody to watch out for us, like Doc Benson. Bring on them Gerald Proust, huh, Toots?
Well, I told those things to Max, John, because they make him feel easier about things, and because some of them happen to be so true.
The things about me, you mean?
Mm-hmm. But you mustn't let that influence you, John. If anything should happen to you because of us...
Mary, when Max asked you to stand by you, I didn't make any conditions.
But you say yourself that it might hurt me.
And I didn't tell Max, yes, I'll stand by Mary, until I don't think it's wise anymore to stand by her. Max asked me humbly, as a good friend, to stand by. Come better, come worse.
No, John.
Yes, Mary. I know exactly what I'm going to tell Mr. Gerald Proust tomorrow. You see, I have ideals, too. Yes, Dr. John Benson. Tell Gerald Proust. But be prepared for what Gerald Proust may have to tell you.